My name is D. Ellis, Texas State Veterinarian, Texas Animal Health Commission.
Okay. Tell me about the problem right now with Texas cattle fever ticks.
Well, Texas has a permanent quarantine zone along the Mexico border, which in South Texas from the town of Del Rio down to Brownsville on the ocean, the Rio Grande River runs along as the boundary, and we have a quarantine zone that's patrolled primarily by USDA horseback riders and some Texas Animal Health Commission riders as well when needed to protect the incursion of this fever tick from Mexico into the United States. Over 100 years ago, our agency was formed to fight this fever tick, which can harbor a protozoa called Babesia that, if introduced into naive cattle populations, can cause sickness and or death. And so the United States has had a infrastructure in place now for well over 100 years to protect the reintroduction of fever ticks from Mexico into the United States through the Texas border. Back in the day, 50, 75 years ago, these ticks were more prominent, and especially in the southern states, got as far up as Virginia and Maryland at one time. But through a cooperative partnerships between state animal health and USDA over the years, they've been pushed back into Mexico, and our job normally now is to keep them in Mexico and out of the United States. So what's happened here is we have right now, there's always a few infested premises just across the river into Texas. Right now we have 11 infested premises in a 600-mile border, which is pretty low for us. It fluctuates up and down based upon climate and, you know, weather and things such as that. But outside the permanent quarantine zone in what's the free area of Texas, down in the most southernmost county in Texas around Brownsville, South Padre Island is a resort area down there on the ocean, we have now 7 infested premises that we found just in the last few months. And we're always much more concerned about infested premises with this tick in the free area than in the systematic, as we call it, the permanent quarantine zone. Because in the permanent zone, ranchers down there, they have to contact the government and get an inspection and a treatment for their animals, cattle and horses primarily, before they can leave. But outside that zone, animals are free to move and go to sale barns and go to rodeos and move around as normally folks would move cattle or horses in their day-to-day business. And so what Texas has done in conjunction with USDA, it's Texas authority, and then USDA is helping us with this, is placed a temporary quarantine zone on about one-third of the county, the southernmost county in Texas, as we now have these new infestations as far as 40 miles from the Mexican River, Mexican border. And we are working diligently to determine the source of the infestation, contact all the folks, check all the pastures, and follow any traces of animals that have been sold out of there recently to ensure that ticks have not moved any farther into the state of Texas. And it can be a marketability issue, a trade issue. There couldn't be an animal health issue. At this time, we have not seen any illness from this. You have to have the tick, naive cattle, and the Babesia organism, all three in combination to make an animal sick. And right now, what we have is a naive population and the tick, but we don't have cattle with Babesia. Cattle from Mexico always have the Babesia, and right now down there we've not seen any illness, and so our job is to try and find where the ticks are at and then put in procedures to eradicate the ticks and then eventually release this quarantine area that's not used to being quarantined.
What's carrying these?
Well, we're not sure. Part of the evaluation is to see what happened here. Obviously, just proximity to Mexico, you can have stray cattle. Wildlife such as deer are always a concern. In this specific instance, we believe that another wildlife species called a nilgai, it's an Indian antelope, may also be part of the problem. Our epidemiologists are studying this right now, and we have found nilgai, which are animals not native to the United States, that were introduced down there maybe as far as 100 years ago just for hunting purposes. These are probably playing a role because in their native habitat back in India, they're strong hosts for the fever tick, and it's believed that the fever tick was actually introduced into the North and South America back in the explorer days coming from India on ships. So we have a competent wildlife host, and we have a country of Mexico that has the ticks, and these animals are pretty tough, pretty wild, hard to catch, hard to hunt, and they can range for many miles. And so we think that's at least part of the problem down here right now.
So what does it mean to the country's cow herd right now?
Well, right now, the cattle industry doesn't need to worry. As I said, the state and the federal government down here are very experienced with this. We quickly put into place procedures to restrict movements while we evaluate the situation. Those boundaries of the temporary quarantine zone in Cameron County will be changed as needed. They can be expanded or constricted depending upon what we find. Right now, it's limited to just part of one county. But cattlemen don't need to be afraid. Part of our job is to protect the United States, and then part of our job is to protect even Texas cattle. So there's a strong interest here by the Texas Animal Health Commission to ensure that our cattle are healthy and marketable. We're very experienced at this, and so right now I can tell you that there is no risk to the other states and other trade partners, but it's our job to jump on this incursion as quickly as possible to ensure it doesn't spread any farther.
So far, we're talking about the tick and not the disease. Can the tick be contained?
The tick can be contained. We know how to do that. There's various treatment measures that we put in place, including dipping cattle, spraying cattle with different tickicides. Also, down here, we will put into place some procedures to ensure that white-tailed deer are also treated. There's a couple of different ways we do that, depending on whether it's hunting season or not. But we have a strong, experienced workforce that deals with this every day. The program's been in place for over 100 years, right on the border. And so occasionally it does break out. We have one other small temporary quarantine in another county that's been there for about 4 years now, and we're fixing to release that one. So we know what we're doing. The wild card in this situation is, for the first time, we believe that there's a new wildlife species besides white-tailed deer that may be involved, and so we have to get our hands around that and learn a little bit more about the biology of the animal. And then, obviously, we need to partner with our wildlife stakeholders down here, both hunters and just wildlife associations, to ensure that we communicate with each other and we do the best job we can to fight the problem together.
You said that perhaps it can be contained through dipping cattle, through treating them that way. How
Correct.
Is it determined when you see either a nilgai antelope out there, a white-tailed deer out there, or a few cattle out there for that matter? How do you tell whether they're infested?
Well, when it comes to livestock, and the two livestock that we deal with most commonly are cattle and horses, you actually put your hands on them. We put them in the chute. If it's cattle, we have special chutes. We call them scratching chutes. Kind of looks like we're scratching around on the animal, but we're actually feeling under the armpits and under the back legs and under the tail. In horses, we especially want to look up around the mane, but we're actually feeling for the ticks. They take them off, and our folks are trained to identify the type of tick, and we send them off to laboratories to double-check that. For wildlife, and wildlife surveillance is absolutely part of this, our deer season is fixing to start, is beginning soon, and so we'll be working with hunters in the area to require inspections of any animals taken, whether they're white-tailed deer or nilgai. We will ask the hunters in this quarantine zone to contact us, and then we'll take a look at it. We'll actually look at the animals, examine the animals for ticks, and then we will treat the hides if the hide is still on the animal to ensure that they don't take ticks out of the zone. So we're going to be putting our hands on these animals to answer your question.
Very good. Is there anything you'd like to add about this?
No, I think we're early on in this. I think it's an interesting dynamic of a partnership between animal health livestock officials and wildlife officials as we move forward. As you know, there's a number of diseases that can transmit back and forth, and this is just another example of how important it is for the hunting community and wildlife folks and cattle animal health folks to work together to solve a problem. And you have an experienced workforce down here in Texas, and we're going to do our best to take care of this as efficiently as possible and maintain a healthy and marketable livestock population as it comes into Texas and as it goes out. So right now, there's nothing to worry about, but y'all stay tuned, and we'll keep everyone informed as to what's going on.
One thing that you mentioned, that the disease itself, that the fever is not in Texas. However, it is in Mexico. How have you managed so far to keep it confined to that side of the Rio Grande?
Well, you have to have the tick, and an animal with the organism in it, and then a naive animal. So the tick, the way this works is the tick bites an animal with the organism in its blood, gets it in its body, and then it can lay eggs and those babies can hatch out, and they've got the organism, and then when they bite another animal, they can transmit the disease. So, one, we've kept the fever tick out of Texas, except occasionally right along the river. We don't allow Mexican origin animals to be found along the river. We don't allow those folks. There is a strong industry of feeding Mexican origin animals in Texas. But right along the river, we don't allow that. So we prohibit the tick and we prohibit the animals from Mexico that might have the organism in their blood. And as long as you don't have those two things together, you're not going to see the disease. And so up to now, we have not seen any death loss or any illness with this. But it's important to get the tick back into Mexico and get it out of our population. Well, thank you very much, and appreciate the time to visit with you. And if you have questions, give me a holler back.
I'll do that. Thank you.
All right. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Yeah, bye.